Okay, hello. I'm Ty Hoffman. You're here for 181, right? File 181. First of all, how do you want the light? You want more light than this? Does anyone want more light than this? Okay, cool. I want to talk a little bit about how this course operates before we actually get into the science, but there will be a lecture today. I want to make sure we talk about the fact that there are three websites you need to keep track of. Has anyone not been to this website yet? Don't be afraid to answer. Okay, about half of you have not. About half of you have. That's good. When you go to Canvas, which is one of the websites you need to keep track of, it tells you to go here, or it tells you to actually go to the general site and find your course. But this is what I will call the Hoffman site. So that's two websites. Canvas, of course, the Hoffman site, which is this one, and you'll also have to have access to Connect, which should already be available to you. Has anyone already registered for Connect? Okay, you don't have to pay for it. Is that what you were just about to ask?
No.
Okay. What were you want to ask?
No, just saying that I have.
Oh, okay. You've already gotten on? Okay, so there's no... I'm asking because the frustrating thing about things like Canvas and Connect are that we instructors never get to see exactly what students see, even though they say it's a student view. It's really not exactly the same thing. So I'm glad that there aren't any headaches that for the people who have tried to get on Connect are experiencing. It's pretty robust compared to Mastering, for instance. If you ever had to deal with Mastering, that is full of problems. But Connect is pretty good in terms of getting on and being error-free. But anyway, those are the three websites. And you can think of Canvas as kind of being the master site because you can get access to the others from there. But you certainly should bookmark the Hoffman site directly in case there's ever a problem with Canvas that you can't get on because of some... This is on an entirely different server. So there could be an outage for Canvas affecting district-wide, but you could maybe still get access to the Hoffman site. It's also just a hell of a lot easier to go there directly. Don't go through Canvas with the intent of going to Hoffman site when you can just go directly to the Hoffman site. Okay, now... I want to talk about the syllabus a little bit, which is available here, by the way, one right here. And you don't have to print out the syllabus. You might want to print out the last page because it's a schedule, but I want to talk about it before we get too deeply into it. Now, I'm not going to read every word of this to you because I'm going to assume you can read it on your own. You should consider yourself required to read it, though. It's written for a purpose. So read the whole thing eventually, if you haven't already. The more important stuff occurs at the beginning, but I'm just going to hit on some things that students typically care about on the first day, which is mostly grading. You can ask me about anything, and any part of it, though, not just the parts that I'm going to choose to talk about. Never be afraid to interrupt me, by the way. You don't have to raise your hand to say, hey, I have a question. Just start talking. Just interrupt me. But before we get to the particulars of the syllabus, I want to say that this is a bitch of a course in terms of workload. Now, there probably are some people in here, and you don't have to identify yourselves, but there are likely, because I've taught this a lot of times, I know how things go, several people who have already tried this course once, or maybe even twice. That's not unusual, because regardless of who teaches it, it's basically the same material for all instructors. typically only about half of the people make it through on the first try. So it's a nice full class today, but on the week of the finals, likely half of these seats will be empty. I don't want to discourage you by saying that. And it's hard to believe me when I say I'm not trying to be discouraging, because it does sound discouraging. But I also don't want to lie to you. This is a demanding course. And one thing that you should be aware of is that getting all A's up to this point, while laudable, is largely meaningless, because one thing that this course teaches you beyond the biology is that not all college courses are designed equally. There are hard courses, there are easy courses. In case you don't already know that, you probably do. But I'm not saying that there won't be any A's. I always have about this right amount of A's. An A, by the way, is something that's earned by roughly 10% of the people. So about 2.4 of you should get an A if all of you stay. I just told you, though, that only about 12 of you will be here at the end. Last term, or last live term, which was spring, I had the highest attrition that I've ever had in any course at any place that I've ever taught. There were two people remaining. Now, part of that is because that was still COVID restricted, so we started out with 12. But even with what I told you about 50% dropping, we should have had 6 left. There were only 2, which thankfully both made it through, but it was pretty sparse in there by the end. Well, there are, I'm sure, a lot of reasons why so many people end up withdrawing. But it's not really, I don't think, that the material is so impossible to understand. Conceptually, this is a doable course. And it's, I think, the most important biology course you'll ever take. It's for majors. So you're supposed to be a biology major. I'm not saying you shouldn't take this as an elective. I have had people do that and do really well in here. But anyway, it's designed for biology majors of some sort. And this is, I think, the most important course you'll take, this and 182, because those two courses introduce the biological fundamentals. They are fundamental courses. And fundamental does not at all mean easy. Fundamental just means you're learning the stuff on which all of our knowledge is built. It's the most important stuff to have a handle on if you want to understand the courses to come in your biological career. This and 182. The big difference between 181 and 182, by the way, is scale. So in this course, we'll be within a cell. It's a molecular level pretty much the entire term. 182, you step outside of the cell and go up to the entire biosphere. So it's a matter of what scale you're studying at. But you're going to learn the stuff that you learn in here over and over in several different courses as you go through the program. Hopefully you'll learn it a little better each time. It would be nice, actually, if everyone were able to take every course twice. Now, I know students would object to that because it would take you twice as long to graduate. But I just know from experience that one time through a course is not really enough time and enough practice to learn this stuff well. I can tell that because I also teach a course called Cell Biology, the 300-level course, which is really this course again, just a little bit more in-depth. And when I teach that, I can tell that students coming into that have forgotten most of what they learned in 181. That's just the way humans work. And that's true for any course, I think. You forget most of what you learn. But try not to. Try to get as much as you can out of this course just to make the rest of your biology program that much easier and that much more fruitful. But anyway, back to this idea of it's not impossible to understand stuff. That's true. That's not what makes it so difficult to get through it. It's just that there is a hell of a lot of material. It's relentless. And the ideal situation, this doesn't happen anymore, but in the old days, it was a student of your, a person of your age's job to be a student. That's all you had to do, was to be a student. Didn't have to work, didn't have other responsibilities. So that's one of the major reasons why there is so much withdrawing, is that there is, people are trying to do 28 hours of work every day, and there's no way around the limit of 24, and that's even if you never sleep, which of course is going to kill you. So it's a matter, it all boils down to the amount of time. The next ideal, if you can't just have the situation of school being your job, is to not have other courses at the same time. And that's true of very few people as well. I'm not saying those other courses aren't important. They are equally important. They might not take as much time as this in your life, but anything that takes up time, including leisure, is going to make getting all the stuff you have to get done in here harder and harder. So the people that end up withdrawing really just don't realize coming into it or hope otherwise that they have time. Something has to give, and I understand the other things in your life are important, but I can't just pass you because you're busy. Being too busy is not an excuse for not having to do all the things that are required in here. If you are really too busy, then you shouldn't take this course right now. Okay? And once again, I'm trying not to be discouraging. So, let's talk about how this thing is made up. My office is listed there somewhere, isn't it? Yeah, 210H. Most of you will just email me or talk to me. You can talk to me at any time when we're in here, but especially when we're in lab, as we'll see later today. Well, it won't be a good example today, but in most lab sessions, there's plenty of time to come up and talk to me one-on-one there if office hours don't work for you. But anyway, read all the stuff I'm skipping over, as I said. Let's talk, though, about I talked about the websites. The rules consent form is in glaring red, in hopes that you don't miss that. It is nice that some of you have already gotten that out of the way. Make sure you do this by tonight. You won't get any credit for anything you do in this course until you submit the rules consent form from the Hoffman site. So consider it homework, even though it's not graded homework, so there's really not any way that I know you're going to be doing this. Unless I spy on you via the web. But consider it to be your homework by midnight tonight to go to the Hoffman site and to Canvas. Not so much Connect yet, but Canvas and the Hoffman site both. Click on every link in the menus at the left to make sure you know where things are. It's going to get busy very soon, so you want to do this while you have some moments. It's good to figure out where the things are on the various websites and keep in mind that they're there. You might not need every link that's on there right away, but know where things are so you can get them when you need help. But never hesitate to email me if you can't find things or for any reason. If I'm not asleep or teaching live, I can get back to you within a minute usually. Anyway, do the rules consent form. Click on all the links to explore them by tonight. Let's look at the scoring, though. Notice the two columns, with attendance and without attendance. Now, I said a little bit earlier that it's not me as an instructor that has 50% of the students drop. That's just about everyone who teaches it has about the same attrition rate. I do realize, though, that I give a little bit more detail in my version of 181 than most instructors do. You might appreciate that. You might end up hating that, but I realize that I do that. And so I think it's probably a little bit harder to score a given numerical value in my course compared to other instructors. So to make up for that, I make it mathematically a lower bar to pass. Everyone else does standard 90, 80, 70. To get an A in here, you only need a 66. I mean, an 86. 66 for a C, 76 for a B, 86 for an A. But beware of the word only, because I shouldn't even say you only need an 86, because getting an 86 in here, like I said, for most of you is probably going to be significantly harder than getting a 90 in other courses. Still, though, what it means is that I end up giving the same fractions of A's, B's, and C's as any other instructor by doing it this way. All right, so the 66, not yet, but soon, the 66 is for a lot of people in here going to be the goal, because you have to pass with a C, right? A D doesn't help you. So getting that 66 is going to be what determines whether or not you think you're going to be able to stay in here. Hopefully not. Hopefully you'll all get A's. That's never come close to happening. But hopefully. Well, on Canvas, you'll notice, if you haven't already, that I have a group of numbers called summary and forecast. These are not assignments. They're just numbers that can help you know where you are, what your standing actually is, and what your hopes are for getting through the course. The three most important of those, I think there are seven summary and forecast numbers, including your total, which is really what your score is at the moment. But there are three called minimum required for a C, a B, and an A. What that means is that's the minimum that you'll need on all the stuff that you haven't done yet to end up with a C, a B, or an A. So the confusing thing about this is that students naturally want scores, numbers, to be as high as possible. But these minimum required things are not. That's just the opposite. They are hurdles that you have to get over. So you want them to be as low as possible. Right? You want the minimum required to get an A to be as low as possible. If it's zero, that means you're guaranteed an A, right? So make sure you think of it that way. If you don't understand, email me. But make sure you read about them on Canvas and appreciate them, because those things will change every time something's graded. And your new minimum required to get a C or B or an A will tell you that's I have to do that or better on everything else that's left in the term. The reason this is so helpful is because if you compare your minimum required for your C, let's say, to the total score that you have right now, which is everything that you've already done, if the minimum required for a C is a hell of a lot higher than your total right now, that means the status quo is not going to cut it, right? Because you're going to end up, if you don't make a change, with a score pretty close to your total score right now. If the minimum required for a C is higher than that, that tells you mathematically you need to make a change. And the biggest change necessary usually is to spend even more time, although it'll probably seem like you're already spending a lot of time. But there's no way around the time budgeting, okay? Anyway, make sure you appreciate those three summary things, the minimum required. Those can really help you. As far as the breakdown of points is concerned, we have these categories of scores. But notice that I'm doing it with attendance and without attendance. Attendance, by the way, now that I'm reminded of that, pass this around. Today is an exception. The lab will be an exception too, and I'll talk about that when we get there. But this is an exception as far as signing in, which is how you get your attendance points. It'll be the only day that I pass this around. From now on, it'll be right here. Just keep it here. Don't move it. But you need to train yourself to, starting Wednesday, to not sit down when you come in. Come in, come straight up here and sign in to ensure that you'll get those attendance points. Okay? I'm going to probably see most of you do exactly the opposite because it's just human nature. But it'll get easier once you get into the court, the term. I'm saying this, though, because I'm going to be a hard ass about this. If you come in, if I know you're here, if I can remember that you're here but you're not on the list, you don't get any points. These are points that are almost free, right? All you have to do is sign your name. So I'm going to force you to do that. And if you forget to do it, that's unfortunate. Anyway, just sign your legible name. I'm also not going to allow you to sign the attendance sheet as soon as I start talking, which unfortunately you can't tell from the clock, but nearly every one of you has a clock nowadays as a phone. Anyway, I'm going to start exactly at 11:30. So coming in 2 seconds late is like not being here as far as attendance points are concerned. That doesn't mean leave. You should still stay and listen to the recording, but you won't get those attendance points. Anyway, attendance doesn't tell me a damn thing about your knowledge, right? Being here does not tell me you know anything about biology or any specific topic of biology. It's not like a grade assessment, like a test or something. It's almost free points. But I'm willing to give you some points for it because I think it is valuable to be here and be here on time. So it's not just attendance, it's punctual attendance. That's why it's called that. You have to be on time. I don't want to penalize, though, anyone who makes the, and I think it's a good argument, those who say, well, you record all of your lectures, which I do, and the slideshows are already on your website, so I really could reproduce this lecture experience at home. Now, this doesn't have to do with the lab. You have to be at labs. But you could make the argument that I could reproduce your lecture experience at home and save myself a commute or just save myself time and be able to do it any other time I want. And if you learn the material that way, and do well on the exams, that's a valid argument, right? So I don't want to demand that you use these attendance points. I just want to give them to you as an incentive to be here. But I calculate it both ways, with attendance and without. And the score that you see on Canvas as your total current score, that's the higher of the two automatically. You don't have to worry about it. I will make the calculation, and whichever score is higher, using attendance or without attendance, is the one that you'll get. But if you don't have attendance points, meaning you're not here enough times for it to actually be lower with attendance than without, then notice that means everything else has to be worth even more than it is already. Right? That makes sense mathematically? So that's why these are different percentages. With attendance, all the other non-attendance assignments are worth a little bit less than they are with attendance. Now, the pre-lab quizzes that I have listed here as the second item is the only thing that has some chance of changing, and that's because of something I wrote on the announcements page a couple days ago when I found out that we're no longer requiring you to buy the lab manual. That might interfere with pre-lab quizzes that were based on the manual coming into it, and we still haven't figured out how many there are going to be of the new versions. So it might not be exactly 14 is what I'm saying, but however many there are, it will still add up to 13% of your score if you use attendance points. All right, so that's the only real variable there. But these different categories have different weightings, notice. The meatiest or the most important of your batches of points as far as how much they affect your total, your final grade, are the lecture exams. Now, unfortunately, they're also the hardest to earn points. Your lecture exams will probably be your lowest scores, and they affect your grade the most. But they're also the most important way of me knowing whether you're actually learning this material. So the big point here that goes along with what I was saying before about how demanding this course is that there are different batches of points. Some are comparatively easy points. Some of them are much more difficult points. Because it is such a struggle to get through this course for the vast majority of students, you do not want to waste a single point. Meaning, if you come in here 1 minute late next time for lecture, that's wasting points already, because you're not going to be allowed to sign the attendance sheet. And that is the easiest batch of points you have, attendance. But there are other fairly easy ones as well. I mean, you could probably do very well on Connect. It's all open book stuff that if you put enough time into it, you could conceivably get 100 on all of that stuff. All right? Don't waste any of those easy batches of points, because you get one shot at each examination, and those are usually somewhere in the low to mid-60s as a class mean. All right, and that's what brings your score down the most. It affects your score the most, but it also brings it down because they'll be low. Maybe not, like I said, but I've taught this enough times to know what happens. Now, I'll talk specifically about the things in lab once we get to lab later today. This is the Monday section for lab, right? Okay. I'll talk more specifically about that when we get there. The Connect homework, though, is really the only thing that you'll use the third website for in terms of points. But the website also has access to an electronic textbook if you really are interested in that. Be sure you read the textbooks page on the Hoffman site, though, because I don't demand that you have any textbook or use one. It's perfectly possible to do really well in this course without ever cracking a textbook. I'm not saying that I recommend that. I think it's a good idea to have a textbook. But no lecture examination question, which are the important things, will ever come from the publisher. These are all my questions. 100% of my questions are written from the stuff that I talk about in my lecture recordings. All right, now the lecture recordings take a lot of time, speaking of time demands, but you should think of them as absolutely required. It's another thing that I can't really demand that you do, but that is by far the most important thing to do to study for my lecture exams, is to study what I actually tell you on the recordings. Now, on the Hoffman site, you'll have access to the recording that I actually give you, which I'm making right now, and I'll make starting when we start the lecture in a few minutes. Those are the current term lecture recordings. That's exactly what I told you. Now, I never say exactly the same thing to everyone. I always say things a little bit differently. But anyway, there's also these online lecture and slideshows from a different term. Those are already up there for the entire term. These are really important to study, I think. Probably the most important things. These SSS links, which are the synchronized slideshow links. Yes, it's from a different term, but it's exactly the same setup of the course. So it's the same material. The reason that they are helpful is that it's not just the audio, but it's the slideshow is synchronized to it. So you don't have to find which slide I'm in. You could do that if you wanted to. But you can fast forward and rewind to a specific place, and the audio will be in the right place that way. Okay. Ideally, what you want to do is to review these synchronized slideshows multiple times, as many times as you have time for. And each time, well, during the live performance, when I'm speaking to you, you should be taking notes, of course. But you're not going to have your final versions of notes be possible to be done during the live performance, because you probably can't write fast enough or whatever. I want you to pay attention to me, and that takes away from note-taking a little bit. You should refine your notes, though. Your notes are going to be the thing that you should study for, but only if they're good notes that came from what I say on recordings, including these synchronized slideshows. All right. So if I don't say something in a recording, it's not going to be on a test. I can guarantee that. You might find something in a textbook that I didn't talk about. Well, it's not, if I don't talk about it, it's not going to be on one of my tests. But anyway, repeated listenings and refining your notes as you listen to them again and again. Make the notes as good as possible. That's why it's so valuable to be able to pause whenever you need to refine those notes. Don't just try to hurry when you're listening to it at home, right? Start and stop. Well, that takes even longer than being here, right? If you don't stop it at all, it takes exactly as long as being here does, again. And that's just part of your preparation for the course. But it's something that you really need to make time for, because doing well on the exams demands it. Okay? Any questions so far? All right, well, let's go on to that. Might be what I was thinking you might think is important. You don't have any questions about anything that's as far as the test, how the course is set up? Okay. Do you have paper ready to take exquisite notes? Since I'm now transitioning into the biology portion of the performance. Before I turn this recording off, let me say that the only thing that you will be required to purchase, and it's not expensive, is at least five. I think they come in sixes, packets of six, which is actually perfect. But six Scantron forms, the green Scantron forms that are 50, they're about this wide. The bookstore will know which ones you're talking about. They're green, though. 50-question Scantron forms. Estrella used to give those to students, but money has tightened up, and so they no longer provide those. And that means I won't have any to give you. So there is usually at least one or two of those students who forget. Just beware that on test day, I won't have any. And so you'll have to ask your fellow students if they can lend you one. It's best to just get those at the bookstore right away, well ahead of the test, so you don't forget.